the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Monday, March 16th, 2020. Front page. Coronavirus planning together. Local leaders discuss steps for prevention of coronavirus by J.C. Lewis. Note, Reporter Telegram office will be closed temporarily. The Midland Reporter Telegram will be closed to the public as a precaution for at least the next 2 weeks. The Reporter Telegram will continue to publish the paper daily and update the latest news at MRT.com. During this time, for questions about subscriptions, call 688-2700. City and county officials and other community leaders met with the media Sunday evening at City Hall to discuss Midland ISD closure and community safety regarding coronavirus. There are no COVID-19 cases in Midland as of Sunday evening, they said. The officials met in closed session for an hour and 10 minutes before the press conference. Mayor Patrick Payton, Midland Memorial Hospital CEO Russell Myers, MISD Superintendent Orlando Riddick, and Midland County Judge Terry Johnson answered questions from the press after the closed meeting. Payton said that the meeting was called because they wanted to make sure, as a city, county, and hospital, they are ready and able to do the work needed to go along with the school district. He said that the MISD closure affects more than 30,000 people in the community. Although it's important to understand that it's not an extension of vacation, everything still has to go on to take care of our students. It's our response to make sure that we take care of everything that means for us as a community and as we react to what the school district does, he says. Riddick talked about the district's plan. We've done what we can to become very tactical around a number of those areas, he said. We've outlined what those areas look like. Feeding is the first priority that we want to sustain and maintain. He said that the city has offered support for distribution. There is also a link set up at MISD for people to deliver. MidlandISD.net/COVID-19. Payton said people will get cabin fever, but this isn't the time to send kids to the mall or movie theater because they are out of school. They need to probably stay home with you if they can and start reading and start working on their education and realizing this is not an extension of spring break, he said. This is a cautionary note for our city and country as a whole. Speaking about the virus itself, Payton said the most important thing is to be sure people are getting correct information. Russell Myers may want to talk a little bit about this, but making sure that the information you're getting online, and that includes your favorite news source, understanding most of that's probably wrong, he said. The most important thing you have to realize is taking care of yourself, taking care of those around you, being clean, practicing good hygiene. Payton said that just because a person sneezes or coughs doesn't mean that they have COVID-19. We're not trying to minimize those things, but also realizing we can't be overwhelming doctors' offices and hospitals, he said. We need to call 68NURSE and get those answers before you panic because of the general panic that's going on around our nation. Myers said that the hospital has advised social distancing, which may be a new term for most people. He said that as people think about preventing the spread of COVID-19, they should implement these steps. Don't shake hands. Keep distance from people. Avoid large groups. Practice strong hygiene, including washing hands frequently and thoroughly. We're particularly concerned about the elderly and those who are frail in their health, who have multiple system challenges, especially with their lungs and respiratory system, Myers said. Those are the folks who should probably stay out of crowds or stay home as much as possible. But more than anything else, this is not a time to panic, Meyer said. But the disease is manageable. We certainly want to take care of our elderly, frail citizens as a first priority. When you're not panicking, you're looking out for your neighbor, Peyton said. You're looking out for your neighbor next to you, who perhaps is elderly and vulnerable in their health as well. Just making sure as a community, rather than getting frightened about what's happening, we understand the reality of it and we start taking care of each other and paying attention because it's going to be stressful around here. Myers expects to see coronavirus cases in the area. He said testing is not yet widespread in the country and may never be widespread. For the vast majority of people, especially those who are not elderly or sick, this is a very minor disease, Myers said. For many people, they never develop any symptoms at all. It would not be at all surprising that there is disease present in the community already. We are behaving as if that is the case, and there is going to be more, so we need to be prepared. Peyton said that the situation is still extremely fluid. While the officials were in closed session, the Centers for Disease Control issued a new directive about crowd size. Now the CDC is recommending that for the next 8 weeks, organizers cancel or postpone events involving 50 or more people. He said most organizers already have canceled or postponed their events. We've made commitments as the city will reimburse fees and different things, he said. We want to work with them on postponing. He said an event planned for next weekend has been postponed until July. He said hopefully the promoters and people involved in events realizing it's not going to be in the best interest of their event to continue with it. Peyton said businesses are going to have to make some of the adjustment calls themselves. When it's related to private enterprise and private businesses, we're going to have to tread lightly, Peyton said. We haven't declared a state of emergency where we can take control of commerce, but we're going to continue to rely on the good wisdom and nature of those who are running businesses. He said that businesses are experimenting with employees working from home and online. We're not going to be New York or San Francisco in that regard just yet. We're going to continue to watch what's happening, what's taking place, and trust our businesses to do the right thing, which they seem to be already being aware of that, he said. Peyton said they have been in contact with the oil and gas companies as to what they're doing with their employees and with their businesses, but there hasn't been any discussion about man camps. It's incredibly fluid even in what they're dealing with, Peyton said. We're just waiting to see what they're doing. A lot of these companies are also having to make decisions related to what's happening in New Mexico as well as different regions. Myers said that they have emphasized with people who work in remote areas the availability of telemedicine. The hospital has the basic MD app that's readily available and easy to use, he said. You can have a primary care visit via your phone anytime. People who may have any symptoms of illness can easily get care. That's something that, especially in remote areas, is particularly important. A curfew isn't part of the community response, Meyer said. However, that can change when the information changes, he said. We need to understand as we go through the season in the next couple of weeks that what we're trying to do, and you've heard this in the media quite a bit, is flatten the curve and make sure we can shorten what's happening here and we can get back to life as usual as quickly as possible, he said. Peyton said that going forward, a task force will be created for future meetings about COVID-19. MISD, ECISD, Working on Plans for Meal Distribution and Remote Learning, by J.C. Lewis. Midland ISD Superintendent Orlando Riddick said Sunday, the district is aware the coronavirus situation is still very fluid at this time. We have staff members that are on daily calls in regards to information that is impacting us as a state, and we have local calls that are being done as well, Riddick said at a joint press conference with Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray at the University of Texas Permian Basin Engineering Building. We are constantly keeping ourselves informed through this work, Riddick said. He said the district has been considering how they are going to feed kids and what that is going to look like. Then, how are we going to deliver? Secondarily, an academic plan that might think through what a transition would look like during the next couple of weeks or longer if needed, he said. Riddick said the goal is to implement plans that can get food and learning to the most vulnerable students, whether they are in the county or centrally located in the city. He said MISD and ECISD are working with the city, county, and other entities. It is important that you see that because no one's moving by themselves to plan, Riddick said. We've been on multiple phone calls so that we can ensure that we're in lockstep as we progress for the Permian Basin. Riddick said the MISD website is a valuable resource during this time. The district is also providing resources for parents via text message, emails, and phone calls. He said leaders need to think about the individual. Our goal that we have as leaders is to find out the most vulnerable student in our system, Riddick said. How do we get those resources plugged into that student so that student stands as competent in regard to the next level opportunities academically? Murray said that he wants the community to understand this decision. We have canceled school for the next 2 weeks, but we have not canceled learning, Murray said. The learning and education of our children must continue. Our commitment to our community is the fact that the learning and education of our children must continue. Our opportunity as a school district is to figure out what that's going to look like. Murray said parents and guardians establish routines for the next 2 weeks. He said this time isn't spring break or vacation. He said kids should get up at their regular time to begin and continue the process of school, but in a different setting, at home. Our commitment is to, as quickly as we can, develop resources and opportunities that will help our parents and guardians have access to curricular material, have access to resources, have access to information about what they can do for the next couple of weeks, Murray said. He said parents and guardians should be structuring their children's routines with academic and exercise times with appropriate meal schedules and bedtimes. Murray said ECISD staff will be experiencing the same thing. Work and school will be looking different. The county's children must continue to eat. 55% of the kids that we serve at ECISD live in poverty, Murray said. We know that many of those kids are very independent upon the food and nutrition that we provide 5 days a week, and we will continue that service. Murray said meals won't be provided today, Monday, and the districts aren't sure when a meal plan will be put into place. There are rules and regulations that need to be met when preparing meals for distribution, Riddick said. City and county officials will be meeting with them today, Monday, to finalize the plans for feeding students. It is a priority for us to get food in the hands of our kids as quickly as we possibly can, Murray said. Riddick said MISD is also working on a plan for distribution of food to kids in need. We've got some great minds that have started working on what a plan for distribution could look like, as well as partnerships through nonprofits and churches who might want to engage in this work, he said. Murray said they will use the ECISD website to keep people informed of the decisions that are made and resources that are available. He said the website will be updated daily. He said leadership remains confident in their decision-making, even though plans can continue to change. The information changes so rapidly, Murray said. It is up to us as leaders to make the very best decisions each day based upon the best information we have at the time. Murray said it is not the time for children to be gathering in groups. We are encouraging people to exercise some social isolation, Murray said. I do not want our children to gather together in large groups. Energy. Craddock says state leaders keeping an eye on falling oil prices, by Stuart Doreen. The oil price free fall last week wasn't felt just in the Permian Basin. State Representative Tom Craddock said leaders in Austin were paying attention and are worried about the price of oil in the $30 range. They are using a price of $58 a barrel in their projections, the Midland Republican said. We are not going to be at that. In past years, the state has benefited from average prices per barrel of $60.58 in 2018 and $59.62 in 2019. The former Speaker of the House said 25% of an oil production tax goes into a school foundation program and 75% goes into general revenue. Extra funds are put into the so-called rainy day fund, which lawmakers have withdrawn from in recent years for state highway funding. He said the lack of drilling taking place in 2020 also might impact the state when it comes to the collection of sales tax. The state comptroller's office showed that sales tax declined by 20% inside the city of Midland, 13% inside Midland County, and by more than 11% inside the city of Odessa. All three entities appear likely to fall behind last year's record annual collection by at least 10%. Still, the comptroller reported sales tax increases for cities and counties across the state in March and fiscal year to date. The Texas Tribune reported last week when oil production slows in Texas, employment and tax revenues decline, and budget cuts at the state and local levels often follow. Dale Kramer, president of the Texas Taxpayers and Research Association, has estimated that the state loses $85 million per year for every $1 increase in oil prices, the report stated. Texas Comptroller Glenn Hegar stated last week that the fundamentals of the Texas economy remain strong. Certainly, Texas has exposure if oil prices remain depressed for a sustained period of time and slowdowns in economic activity related to the COVID-19 outbreak could also be a headwind, Hegar said in a statement on the Comptroller's Office website. We are still only 6 months into the current budget cycle, however, and it is too early to tell with certainty how current fluctuations will impact long-term economic performance and state revenues. As I have said before, during significant downturns in energy prices, the Texas economy is less reliant on severance taxes to fund the day-to-day functions of state government than it has been historically. In addition, the state leadership has numerous financial management tools that allow the state to react to and contend with economic pressures. Because state law requires a balanced budget, lawmakers will be required to cut spending if less revenue is available. It will affect new programs and extending programs we started, Craddock said. Those programs will not. Crime. Peyton says stabbing case has been turned over to FBI. Suspect charged with 3 counts of attempted capital murder by Mary Dearen. The stabbing incident that occurred Saturday night at Sam's Club has been turned over to the FBI, Mayor Patrick Peyton said Sunday evening. From what we've heard from the police department, who has totally taken care of this situation, it was really born out of somebody who was unstable already, Peyton said during a press conference that followed a roundtable discussion about the coronavirus situation. There possibly was some racial innuendo, he said. A 19-year-old man was being held Sunday on 3 counts of attempted capital murder and 1 count of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon in connection with the multiple stabbings, the city spokeswoman said. Bond for Jose Gomez has not been set. We don't know if there was a stock issue or other things that are involved in the stabbings, Peyton said. The FBI is involved. I think we have to sound a cautionary note as a community to realize that all of us are going to have to come together in this, regardless of what your opinions and fears might be, and know that we're not going to do that to one another. Gomez was arrested by an off-duty Border Patrol agent after 4 people, 2 children and 2 adults, one of whom was a Sam's employee, were injured, according to a previous Reporter-Telegram article. While being interviewed by detectives with crimes against persons, Gomez confessed to his actions, the spokeswoman said Sunday. The incident occurred shortly before 7:30 p.m. Saturday. The Border Patrol agent heard a commotion while shopping and encountered an individual actively assaulting multiple people with a knife, including a small child and a Sam's Club employee. The agent identified himself as law enforcement while drawing his firearm, according to a press release from U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The agent disarmed the suspect, later identified as Gomez, and held him until Midland Police Department officers arrived on the scene. The quick action of our agent ended this shocking situation and clearly saved multiple lives, said Big Bend Sector Chief Patrol Agent Matthew Hudak. I'm proud of our agents, as they are valuable members of our communities. This is another example of how we protect America. The victims were transported to Midland Memorial Hospital. Three of the victims had been released as of late Sunday afternoon. The fourth victim was expected to be released later Sunday. The investigation is ongoing. Local restaurants step up cleanliness amid virus outbreak, by Mella McEwen. From national and regional chains to locally owned locations, restaurants in Midland are stepping up their cleanliness game in the face of the coronavirus concerns. We've ordered a lot more sanitizer and put it at the front door and made it available for the staff, said Stephanie Reyes, manager of La Bodega. She said she has also ordered cleaning wipes that are supposed to be even more effective than Clorox. In addition, she said staff is cleaning the restaurant more frequently. We have glass countertops, and throughout the night, we take them off and clean them, she said. Albert Hernandez, general manager with Dickey's Barbecue, said cleaning routines at the three Midland and two Odessa locations owned by the franchisee target areas that are frequently touched. We set our timers for 1 hour, and we have a checklist. Door handles, condiments, silverware holders, bathroom door handles, drink dispensers that we thoroughly clean each hour, he said. We try to be as sanitary as we can. Three signs have been placed in dining rooms telling diners what steps are being taken to keep the stores clean, he said, especially because a number of guests have asked what the restaurants are doing. A spokeswoman at the Chick-fil-A at 5120 Andrews Highway said the restaurant is following corporate standards of heightening cleaning and sanitation procedures and urging employees who are not feeling well to stay home out of an abundance of caution. Chick-fil-A has also provided franchise restaurants with procedures to follow if Midland or someone from their restaurant becomes impacted by the virus. The local spokeswoman said signs have been placed in the restaurant dining room in an effort to be as transparent as possible with diners. In the meantime, the local Chick-fil-A have decided to close the dining rooms, according to a post on the Midland Drive location's Facebook page. Our utmost priority is the safety of our guests and team members. We are adjusting our method of serving our customers. As a precaution, all freestanding Chick-fil-A's in the Midland and Odessa area will be serving our customers via the drive-thru, mobile carry-out drive-thru, as well as DoorDash and Uber Eats. This will begin Monday, March 16th and last through March 28th, subject to change. We appreciate your understanding as we try to make our restaurant as safe as possible for our guests and our team. Cracker Barrel issued a letter to its guests detailing steps being taken in the face of the outbreak. Those steps include removing the checkers and peg games from restaurant tables and front porches and temporarily discontinuing product sampling. Cracker Barrel also is adding extra staff to conduct enhanced daily cleaning and sanitation efforts over and above regular protocols, including more frequent cleaning and sanitation of high-touch surfaces. Cracker Barrel has also established a toll-free response hotline for its employees, and the corporate office is communicating frequently with its field leadership teams on their needs and sharing guidance from the Centers for Disease Control and local and state public health authorities. Vincent Slaughter with the Subway at 4400 North Midkiff Road said the location is following corporate guidelines of hourly cleaning and sanitizing restaurants, especially high-touch surfaces such as door handles, credit card readers, dining areas, and restaurants. Subway has also taken the step of removing dine-in sandwich baskets and trays and offering guests a new cup for each drink refill. Slaughter said employees are also making sure they follow safety protocols such as frequent and proper hand washing and wearing gloves. "We haven't had any inquiries from diners," he said, "but employees try to be transparent in the steps they're taking to keep the restaurant clean." Here is a sidebar from the previous story. Breaking Bread Kitchen seeks support from staff reports. Breaking Bread Kitchen, which is instrumental in feeding the homeless in Midland, seeks the public's help during the coronavirus outbreak. In a Facebook post, the nonprofit is requesting purchases of non-perishable food items from its Amazon wish list. Breaking Bread will continue operating its breakfast truck and is developing a project to feed children who might go without because schools are closed, according to the post. Here is the Facebook post in its entirety. "For those of you asking how to help, we are taking big precautions to limit person-to-person contact when serving our meals, but people gotta eat. So we are still going to be running our breakfast truck each morning to provide breakfast for our homeless friends, to-go meals from the kitchen at dinner time, and we are currently working on developing a project to help get breakfast to school children who might otherwise go without. Here's where you come in. We just placed a huge food order for the perishables that we will include in all our prepackaged meals, lots of fruits, veggies, and other cold items. Will you consider helping us out by ordering the individual packs of non-perishables off of our Amazon wish list? Everything you purchase will go directly toward feeding our friends at Breaking Bread and or feeding a Midland child in need. Breaking Bread is committed to making sure that while the next few weeks hold a lot of uncertainty, food scarcity will not be one of those uncertainties. One of the best things about being a Midlander is watching all of us come together during a time of crisis. We are a strong community. Thanks for your support." From the local section, MMH implements ER process. Midland Memorial Hospital Emergency Department has implemented a process to limit exposure and properly address patients' health care concerns. If someone has a fever, cough, and shortness of breath and has traveled to Europe, China, South Korea, or Iran in the past 14 days, they should not enter the building. Instead, call 221-2380, and a nurse will meet them for further screening. Before heading to the hospital, residents should call 68NURSE 855-686-8773 with questions about symptoms. HEB reduces hours. Hours at HEB, including the pharmacies, have been reduced until further notice, according to a press release from the grocery chain. Stores will be open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. The change is to increase product availability and give employees more time to restock shelves. For more information, go to heb.com. The Midland Northside Lions Club annual Bunny Breakfast, which was scheduled for April 4th, has been postponed. Tickets that have already been purchased will be honored at the future event, spokesman Mike Singh said. Refunds may be obtained at Abacus Computers or Liberty Tax Service, he said. Odessa American, Monday, March 16, 2020, front page. Coronavirus update. Districts team up as schools close. Leaders urge parents not to treat break as playtime. By Michael Merlo. During a Sunday joint meeting between ECISD and MISD, officials offered information regarding the two-week school closure from Monday to March 27th due to CDC recommendations concerning the coronavirus. ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray and MISD Superintendent Orlando Riddick held a news conference Sunday afternoon in the lobby of the UTPB Engineering Building to detail how they are going to deliver academic plans, meal service, nursing support, graduation requirements, counseling, course selection for the next year's students, and business operations, including payroll and hiring. Murray said that they have a daily call with the Commissioner of Education, who provides updates to every school district in the state of Texas to help initiate guidelines for food, learning, and staff. Receiving that information further, it gives us data on which we can make healthier decisions for our folks, Murray said. Although school is canceled, Murray said this is not a vacation. He suggests that guardians of students should establish some routines for the next 2 weeks. He also said he does not want students to gather together in large groups while out of school and recommends that students practice social distancing. He added that the school district has a commitment to develop resources and opportunities that will help our parents and guardians have access to curriculum materials, have access to resources, have access to information on what we can do for the next couple of weeks, at least, to continue the education of our children. But I encourage our parents to establish routines. Make sure you set up academic time each day. Make sure you provide opportunities for kids to have exercise. They are working on getting that information out to parents. How we do school for the next 2 weeks is something that we have yet to discover, he said. Riddick said it's important to know that both of the school districts are working together on implementing strategies for students and staff. Murray said that he will be meeting with the city and county leaders to discuss the feeding of the children in the community. The county's children must continue to eat, he said. He mentioned that 55% of kids served in ECISD live in poverty and are very dependent on the food and nutrition provided by the schools. Murray said that there are no plans to feed students on Monday, but during their meeting with city and county officials, they will finalize plans. He did not know what day the meal plans could be implemented, but said they will communicate with the public as soon as they have a plan. They also plan to discuss employee payroll during the meeting. Murray said that there are still no coronavirus cases in Ector County, but that there were families and educators who had traveled to places that have many coronavirus cases. He added that this is why ECISD decided to change their decision to cancel school from his previous statements to stay open on Friday. As we have seen over the last several days, the information that we have about the virus and the guidance that is provided to us constantly changes. Murray said questions regarding testing and state assessments, athletics, and makeup days are questions that he and Riddick have as well. They are receiving updates from the Education Commissioner and said that the staff at the Education Agency is working to get those answers. Murray added that as soon as he gets those answers, it is his commitment to communicate them to the public. The Best Defense Against Infection by Carol A. Cates, MSN, MBA, RN, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. The last few weeks, it has been a bit of a challenge to write this column because the predominant health topic out there is the coronavirus, now more formally known as the illness COVID-19. COVID-19 in and of itself isn't that hard to write about, but because things are changing so quickly with COVID-19, the amount of time that passes between when I write and when it is published can mean the information I give is likely to be out of date by the time it is read. One thing, however, that has not changed with COVID-19 and also applies to every other contagious disease I can think of is the best defense is hand washing. I can't remember when my mom and dad taught me to wash my hands. It wasn't so long ago, and I was small, but I know they did it. When I was working as a junior volunteer in the hospital in high school, I had to take a hand-washing class and do a demonstration. Then when I became a certified nurse assistant, I had to demonstrate again. That happened again in my licensed vocational nursing, LVN, training, and in my registered nurse, RN, education too. Every time I have gone to school for a more advanced certification or degree in a health-related field, hand-washing is revisited. Regulators are expecting that hand-washing surveys and recurrent hand-washing training is part of our quality control system. Over the course of my career, I have done some sort of hand-washing demonstration or training at a minimum of every few months for years, and everyone I know in healthcare gets the same treatment and has the same expectations placed on them in regard to hand-washing. Yet, disappointingly, people with all that education and frequent reminders don't always wash their hands as they should. The Centers for Disease Control, CDC, estimates that healthcare providers wash their hands less than half the times they should on average. If people who know and are educated about hand washing on a regular basis aren't washing their hands enough, I think it's a pretty good guess that the average person doesn't wash their hands as they should either. To get good results from hand washing, two things must be considered: when to wash hands and how to wash hands. There are many times when you should be washing your hands and teaching your loved ones to wash their hands. Before, during, and after preparing food, before eating food, before and after caring for someone at home who is sick, before and after treating a cut or wound, and using the toilet, after changing diapers or cleaning up a child who has used the toilet, after blowing your nose, coughing or sneezing, after touching an animal, animal feed, or animal waste, after handling pet food or pet treats, and after touching garbage. You should also consider hand washing after touching objects that are handled frequently and may not be cleaned frequently, like cell phones, remote controls, light switches, doorknobs, and keyboards. How to wash your hands is equally as important as when. Hand washing has five critical steps according to the CDC. 1. Wet your hands with clean running water. Temperature is less important than that the water is clean and running. And apply soap. 2. Lather your hands by rubbing them together with the soap. Lather the backs of your hands, between your fingers and under your nails. 3. Scrub your hands for at least 20 seconds. Humming the Happy Birthday song twice will take about 20 seconds if you need a timer. 4. Rinse your hands using clean running water. 5. Dry your hands with a paper towel and then use the paper towel to turn off the water. If you are in a public space like a restroom, it's good practice to use a paper towel to open the door too. If you can't find soap and water, a good alternative is hand sanitizer. If you are purchasing hand sanitizer, make sure you choose one that is at least 60% alcohol. Use the same technique for scrubbing your hands with sanitizers. Get enough gel, liquid, foam in your hands to scrub for at least 20 seconds before it dries, and make sure you cover all hand surfaces. Don't forget to rub between your fingers and under nails. Remember that hand sanitizers don't kill all types of germs, though they do work well with coronavirus. And they are not as effective when hands are visibly dirty or greasy, so washing with soap and water is always the best option when it's available. Recommendations about the coronavirus are changing frequently. Please make sure you are staying up to date so you have the best options for keeping yourself and your loved ones healthy. Please remember the whens and hows of hand washing and practice those rules. It is and always will be your best defense against COVID-19 and any other contagious illness. Finally, remind others you interact with, particularly those of us in healthcare, to wash their hands too. Obituaries from the Odessa American, Monday, March 16th. Judith May Heidman Stevens. Judith May Heidman Stevens, 79, of Odessa, passed away Friday, March 13th at her residence. She was born January 18th, 1941, in Oak Park, Illinois, to the late Cleora Sellers and Herbert Heiderman. Judith is survived by her husband of 57 years, Darwin Franklin Stevens, son, Chris Franklin Stevens, and wife, Pam, of Crowley, Texas, sisters Elizabeth Miller of Louisville, Kentucky, and Jean LeBach of Santa Fe, New Mexico, and grandson Jonathan Franklin Stevens. She is preceded in death by her son, Wayne Edward Stevens, and her parents. Graveside services will be Tuesday, March 17th at 1 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Please visit frankwilson.com to leave online condolences. Death notices. Jaime Lynn Borders Ebert. Jaime Lynn Borders Ebert, 58, of Odessa, died Wednesday, March 11th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Tuesday, March 17th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Pastor Mike Barlett officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Jeffrey Jeff Bonney. Jeffrey Jeff Bonney, 43, of Odessa, died Friday, March 6th in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 9 a.m. Thursday, March 19th at First Baptist Church in Bloomfield, New Mexico. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Melvin Milton Hampton. Melvin Milton Hampton, 78, of Odessa, died Thursday, March 12th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m., March 16th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Byron McWilliams is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Ronnie Lou Ron Leverage. Ronnie Lou Ron Leverage, 72, of Odessa, died Friday, March 13th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Tuesday, March 17th at Antioch Christian Church, 4040 Maple, Odessa, Texas. Interment follows at Odessa 2 Gardens section of Ector County Cemetery. Matt Wilson is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Sunday, March 15th. ECISD and MISD closing two more weeks. No confirmed cases yet in Odessa. The Ector County ISD announced Saturday that schools will close for the next 2 weeks. A news release detailed that new guidance from the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, led to the decision to close all schools for a minimum of the next 2 weeks, March 16th through the 27th. School district leaders reminded parents this situation is constantly evolving and decisions made today may be adjusted as new information is received. To that end, district officials are advising parents to prepare as if the closure could last longer than 2 weeks. As of Saturday afternoon, there are no confirmed cases of COVID-19 in either Ector County or Midland County, but the communities are linked and ECISD leaders are in constant communication with Midland ISD. Both school districts are observing this two-week closure, a step that will allow citizens the time to assess their own health, seek treatment if necessary, and track the presence of the illness. While the schools will be closed, the work of the district must continue. ECISD leaders are now working on plans to continue teaching and learning for all students, meal service, counseling and nursing support, graduation requirements, course selection for next year's students, and business operations including payroll and hiring. These are crucial functions and will require innovative solutions, keeping health and safety at the forefront of the work. All of our ECISD team members and our families will have a role in making sure the work is completed and our students are supported. On Thursday, district leaders asked principals to begin contacting their faculty and staff in an effort to gauge how many people had traveled out of the country or to areas with active coronavirus cases. After a Friday press conference, ECISD officials received an increase in responses from teachers, staff members, and families, alerting them to the fact they had visited high-risk areas, that is, areas considered by the CDC for the Level 3 travel health notice. Others said they believed they had potentially been exposed to someone with the virus. This information, along with new CDC guidance that schools should consider closing as long as 8 to 20 weeks, led ECISD to alter its course and close schools beginning on Monday. "We understand this decision will have major repercussions for businesses and families, but we believe it is in the best interest of our community's health and safety." Also, UTPB announced they are extending spring break by an additional 2 weeks for STEM Academy students and moving all university instruction online beginning March 23rd for the rest of the semester. Quick hits. Arrest made in shooting death. The Odessa Police Department arrested and charged a teen with murder Saturday following a shooting death earlier in the day. Seth Orion Mata, 19, turned himself into police following the shooting. OPD did not identify the 47-year-old man who was shot several times in the upper body. The victim was pronounced deceased on scene. Mata had fled the scene prior to officers' arrival, but later turned himself in and was transported to the ECLAC. The victim will be sent to Tarrant County for an autopsy, and the investigation continues. HEB alters hours. HEB stores, Central Market, and HEB pharmacies will alter hours, with stores open at 8 a.m. and close at 8 p.m. until further notice. ORTA meetings. Odessa Retired Teachers Association has scheduled meetings at 1 p.m., starting with refreshments on Monday and April 20th at Highland Methodist Church, 1808 North Dixie Boulevard. The programs and business meeting will begin at 1:30 p.m. Jennifer Jones, Medical Center Hospital Volunteer Coordinator, will be the speaker for March. She will speak about hospital volunteer opportunities. Kate Minall, with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, will be the speaker for April. Any employee of ECISD is welcome to become a member of the Retired Teachers School Personnel Association. For more information, email Karen at telck@att.net. Opinion from the Odessa American for Sunday. Our view. Kindness and caution are new normal for right now. The point. The time is now to show calm and avoid panic. The popular T-shirts that state, "Stay calm," and then offer a humorous tagline are what we all need. Stay calm and wash your hands. Don't fight over toilet paper or anything else, as local stores are working overtime to stock shelves. Don't overwhelm the emergency rooms with non-emergencies. Be kind to others and cover your mouth when you cough. Wash your hands again. We have every faith that our local hospitals are more than prepared for whatever is thrown at them. Both Medical Center Hospital and Odessa Regional Hospital showed us what they could do during last year's mass shooting. We know they are ready, but we civilians must help them by not overwhelming ER services. We must take every opportunity to be part of a good solution to this crisis and not part of making a mess of things. Buy what you need, but don't take everything. Keep up with what is going through real news sites and not those peddling panic on social media. We can get through this in a calm way. Now, go wash your hands. Guest view. West Texas Food Bank is committed to the West Texas community, by Libby Campbell, Executive Director, West Texas Food Bank. Like the rest of the world, the West Texas Food Bank, WTFB, is closely monitoring the evolving coronavirus, COVID-19, situation. I have been in close contact with my key staff to discuss the implications of COVID-19 on WTFB operations. With guidance from the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, the World Health Organization, WHO, our national partner Feeding America, our state partner Feeding Texas, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, the Texas Department of Agriculture, TDA, and local entities throughout the 19 counties we serve, I want to assure both volunteers and the people we serve of our strong commitment to the health and wellness of all who have contact with the food bank. Keeping a clean facility and following the best practices for food safety are part of our culture. We ask that you help partner with us and concentrate on the facts and preventative measures. While the risk is currently low in Texas and there are no reported cases in our immediate area, we are taking all necessary steps to provide a healthy environment for our community. Internally, we have created a task force which will meet regularly to ensure the health and wellness of our volunteers, staff, and the community we serve as we work to provide the basic necessity of healthy food across our 19-county service area through our network of 80-plus partner agencies and direct distribution programs. We have been in contact with our partner agencies to ensure the lines of communication stay open. As always, I remain in awe of the resiliency of West Texans and their passion and commitment to helping their neighbors. The need for food in our communities was already at an all-time high. This perfect storm of crashing oil prices, along with the economic impact of a global pandemic, creates a unique situation for organizations like WTFB. But I want to reassure the communities we serve and our volunteers that we are working closely with our partners, and we are confident that even with the likely increase in demand for our services in the coming weeks and months, because of your support, we are prepared. Warmly, Libby Campbell. Right now, normal operations, including volunteer shifts, are continuing, but additional precautionary hygiene measures and contingencies are in place to maintain the health and wellness of our substantial volunteer workforce, as well as those who receive our food. We are taking necessary measures to ensure all employees, visitors, and persons who are experiencing symptoms of illness stay home and avoid contact. External-facing staff have been provided with sanitizing kits to safeguard themselves and the public. Large WTFB events are canceled. We are following the recommendations of the CDC to help stop the spread of germs and have posted their guidelines in public areas as a reminder for those coming to the food bank. Volunteers are now prompted to wash hands before and during the shift, and we will have gloves available upon request. Hand sanitizing stations are available across the volunteer area. Tools used during the volunteer shift are cleaned after each shift. High-touch areas are cleaned frequently. In addition, we are also providing the following suggestions to employees, volunteers, partners, and other supporters. If you feel ill, stay home and avoid exposing others. Wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds and help young children do the same. If soap and water are not available, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer with at least 60% alcohol. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects and surfaces using a regular household cleaning spray or wipe. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue, then throw the tissue in the trash. If you do not have a tissue, use your sleeve, not your hands. WTFB is committed to the West Texas community and serving our neighbors in need. As noted above, at this time, We have not canceled any upcoming volunteer opportunities, but we will continue to monitor for additional guidance. Should things change, we will alert volunteer groups and post on social media. For additional information and resources, please visit the CDC website or call the Texas Department of State Health Services hotline. That's 1-877-570-9779. That number again for Texas Department of State Health Services hotline, 1-877-570-9779. Hours 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. Other Voices. Coronavirus Update by Brooks Landgraf. Landgraf serves House District 81, which encompasses Andrews, Ector, Ward, and Winkler counties. Right now, our country and state face a unique health threat with the outbreak of the coronavirus, COVID-19. We're not absolutely sure how serious this virus is, but as an Eagle Scout, I believe it's best to always be prepared. As the number of confirmed cases of COVID-19 continues to grow in the United States, the Texas Department of State Health Services and the Texas Division of Emergency Management are working around the clock to ensure Texas can respond appropriately. Texas has learned from past emergency events, such as the Ebola outbreak in 2014 and Hurricane Harvey in 2017. As a result, we have developed best practices to keep Texans safe in times of emergency. While our state and nation take necessary steps to maintain community health and safety, it's important to realize that everyone can take action to make a difference. Simple things your grandmother always told you, like washing your hands and covering your mouth when you cough or sneeze, can go a long way toward keeping you from getting the virus or spreading it to others. A little spring cleaning and disinfecting can do a lot of good as well. However, it is paramount for everyone to remain calm during this time of uncertainty. About 80% of cases are mild, with most people not needing hospitalization, and those at the greatest risk are older individuals and people with underlying health conditions. At this time, you should not anticipate any kind of major disruption to normal life. Texas public health providers, emergency management, state agencies, and many others are working to combat the spread of the virus for as long as necessary. By practicing good hygiene, staying home if you're sick, and remaining informed, every Texan can play a part in keeping our community safe. For any additional information, please feel free to go to https://www.dshs.texas.gov/coronavirus/ for the latest information on this situation in Texas. God bless Texas. State Representative Brooks Landgraf. Guest View. Dear Friends, by Colin Sewell. 14 years ago, the Sewell Leadership Event began as a gift to the community, to the people of the Permian Basin. Our family has always been about what is best for people. For the past few days, I have struggled regarding this year's leadership event. Many people have asked me if we were going to cancel it. My immediate response each time has been no, not because I wasn't informed, not because I wanted to be reckless, and not because I wasn't concerned about the coronavirus and economic challenges we face. My answer of no was because I don't ever desire to make decisions from a position of fear. I make decisions based upon my faith and wisdom, and always for the best interest of people. As I have leaned on my faith and the wisdom of others, I have reached the following decision. Given the uncertainty of the world, the message we have for leaders is too great to keep isolated to the Wagner-Knoll Performing Arts Center. At the same time, the concern by many regarding the coronavirus is too great as well. To meet the needs of all, we will be delaying the 2020 Sewell Leadership Event. In its place, we will be offering a free live stream session to everyone in the Permian Basin. In time of economic fear and a health scare that is unprecedented in modern times, the need for strong leadership could never be in more demand. I ask you to join Dr. John Maxwell, Mark Cole, CEO of the John Maxwell Company, and myself for a 90-minute live video session next Thursday. During our message, you will have the opportunity to post questions and receive answers of great insight from John and Mark. We will email additional information on the live stream in the coming days. We will also be emailing additional information to you once a new date is selected for the 2020 Sewell Leadership Event. Your tickets will be valid for the rescheduled Sewell Leadership Event, and we will work to accommodate any special requests if you email questions at teamsewell.com. The world needs leaders now more than ever. The world needs you and me to be strong, courageous, and faith-filled. Invite anyone and everyone to our live stream this Thursday. The more leaders we equip, the better our world becomes. In great faith, Colin.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.